Turn with him in your Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 19. We're going to actually close out a series tonight. John chapter 19. Verse number 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now here he's on the cross. He's gone through all the punishment in this side of death that he was going to go through, right? So he's thirsting, it says. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He died, right? Right before he died, he said, it is finished. He had paid the price to redeem us from the curse, right? He had hung on the tree. All that are hung on the tree, it says, are cursed of the Lord. And through him becoming a curse, he redeemed us from the curse that we might become sons of God. And so Jesus paid the price to redeem us from every attribute of the curse. He paid the price to redeem us from sickness, from poverty, from strife, and everything else. In fact, tonight we're going to look at just what he redeemed us from. But I want you to understand, he says it's finished. It's a done deal. There is no attack of the enemy. There is no circumstance of life that you will ever go through that God hasn't already given you the answer and the victory for in His Word. Did you follow me on that? You will never go through a single circumstance of life that God hasn't already said, as far as that attack is concerned against you, it is finished. Now, we just read in Psalms 2 at the beginning of service that he that sits in the heavens laughs. And we understand we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We laugh because we know in our heavenly seating, every attack we will go through, we've already won that battle, if we'll respond appropriately. Now, if instead of laughing in your heavenly place, you start frowning and crying and whining and moaning and groaning, and you're looking at the battle instead of the one that already won it for you, guess what? You may not experience victory. You've got to be victory-minded. You've got to be it-is-finished-minded to access by faith the victory God's made available. Did you catch that? We have to develop. That's what this series is all about. We have to develop an it-is-finished attitude that no matter what arises, we've already got the victory. Did you see that? Look at Hebrews chapter 11. It says in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. To please who? God. You're not going to please God without faith, right? It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. God is a rewarder God. He is a blesser God. Amen. Your actions, your seed you sow in following God and being a blessing according to God's directive, God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall receive the reward of. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Not occasionally. Not if it's convenient. Not only if they're in trouble. He's a rewarder, a blesser of those that develop a lifestyle of seeking God. Amen. But he says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is what? Well, we would say that He is God, right? But actually, that He is open-ended. There's no object at that sentence stated. So He is whatever you need. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, if you want to receive of it, you must believe that He is the healer. Did you follow me? If you're experiencing lack, you must believe that He's the prosperer. If you're experiencing strife in your life, you must believe that He is the God of love. He is love, right? God is. He's already made provision for whatever there is in life that you need. And understand the mentality you got to develop is not that that he made it available, but that it is already, as far as he's concerned, a done deal. You got to develop the mindset it is finished. Now, what we've gotten into in this series is we've looked at this attribute within Christianity where we're always asking God for stuff in prayer. Now, there's a time in prayer you ask God for stuff. And there's a time you just say, God, you've made this available. I receive it. See, you ask God when you don't know the will of God. You follow me? In other words, you know, you're a single person. You meet a person or you're wanting a spouse. So you say, God, I know that you have a spouse for me. Is this the one? You may not know. So you say, God, is this the one? You're asking God. You follow me on that. Or maybe you're looking for a car. Here we just compared a wife to a car, right? And you're trying to figure out which car to buy. So you say, God, is this the one? I met a young man when I first got saved. He was looking for a car, and he was down to two cars. And neither one sounded like God to me. Because one of them was, who made the Colt? The Dodge Colt? Remember the Dodge Colt? Amen. Yeah, like the old Yugo kind of. He was trying to figure between whether to buy the Dodge Colt, didn't have much money, or whether to buy some other car. And he was praying, he was asking God which car to buy, and God told him to turn to a scripture. And when he turned to the scripture, he read it, and it says, Jesus came into town riding on a colt. He had his answer. Patricia Chamness, the secretary of the church in Frankfurt. She was dating the youth pastor. And actually, I don't know how much they were dating, but she was praying and saying, God, is this the one? And God told her a scripture. She turned to it, and the scripture said, his name shall be called John. Well, that was Pastor John. And they're married today. Amen. Been married for several years now. And so when you don't know, you can ask of God. But guess what? If you know God's will, you don't ask anymore because it's already finished. You come to God and you declare to God, God, I receive of your blessing. Are you following me? Father, I know. Here's how you come. You're asking for healing. You don't come to God and say, God, will you please heal me? Oh, God, I just beseech you that you heal my body. And God's saying, you apparently don't know what I've already promised you. You apparently are not reflecting the faith that pleases me. I need you to believe that you already have it and act like you have it and speak like you have it. Are you following me? So instead of coming to God and say, God, will you please heal me? God's saying, I already sent Jesus to the whipping post to take stripes for your healing, to pay that price. Now, when you come and say, I receive of the provision of healing you've already made available. And you step into it by faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. We even spent some time looking at the word ask in the New Testament. Because the question came up, and we were going to cover it anyway, but the question came up, doesn't the Bible say to ask God for your desires? And it does, but we went into that word ask. We found it was the Greek word aiteo, A-I-T-E-O. And that word means anything from ask to demand. And we went through the scriptures looking at that word and found that many times when that word was used in the form ask, it was in a state where a person already knew they had what they were requesting. Right? It was an asking based on a covenant promise. Well, in the same fashion, God's made us covenant promises. And you got to recognize that Jesus said, when he said, it is finished, you don't come pleading for something that you might have it. You know, can I please have? It's already provided. You come and say, God, I receive of that right now. And I thank you for it. I thank you for healing right now in Jesus' name. Because if you don't believe you have it, you won't be able to act on it. The times I receive major healings in my body, which is virtually every time I've needed it. The times I've gone is where I understood what God said and then I had to act on what he said. When God gave me the brand new back, I had to stomp around with that one that was screaming in agony. I am healed in Jesus' name. And guess what? I got a brand new back. We could go through story after story or testimony after testimony. But you guys in here have learned how to do this. And understand, when you step into the "it is finished" mentality is when prayers really start to be answered. See, there's the dividing line. Somebody might say, "Well, Pastor Jack, I just think you're splitting hairs." Well, it might sound like splitting hairs, but the truth is, without a faith connection, you have no access to the power of God He's made available. And although it might be sounding like verbally splitting hairs, that verbal hair we're splitting is the dividing line between whether you're in faith or you're not in faith. And one works and one doesn't. And the church is clear full. I mean, look across America. The church is clear full of people that pray all the time, that ask all the time, and don't see a single thing happen in their life. I had a girl in my office last week. Week before last. And been in church virtually all of her life. And she was raised in this denomination, went to this denomination. And in talking to her, I said to her, "How many people did you ever see healed supernaturally in your church in all your life?" She said, "Zero." "How many people in your church did you ever see supernaturally delivered?" "Zero." "How many people did you see devils cast out of in your church all of your life?" "Zero." I said, "We see those things all the time." Understand, we're praying to the same God. Are you following me? We're using the same Bible. Why is it one place is seeing results and one place isn't seeing results? Because of that hair that we say we're splitting. Because one's walking with an "it is finished" mentality, receiving of what God gave to us in covenant, and one is still over in the thinking that God hasn't finished His work. They're over there thinking there's still something God's got to do, and we don't know if He's going to do it or not. So they're hoping and praying that something will happen. And hoping and praying doesn't work. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know why it pleases God? Because He wants you to receive. He's blessed when His children receive. John said, "I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth." That they manifest, that they receive, that they are able to operate in the principles of the kingdom. Amen. God's the same way. He wants us to receive these blessings. So God is pleased because we've learned to use faith to receive of them. We've learned to walk with an "it is finished" mentality. And guess what? You can only develop that mentality by spending time in the book. Are you with me on this? Now understand as well, Proverbs 18, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Your tongue has the ability to make a supernatural connection with heaven's provision. If you speak with faith, you follow me? If you speak with unbelief, guess what? You've cut the connection. So people that are out there saying, "God, I just hope that you do this. Oh, God, won't you please heal me? Oh, God, won't you please bless me? Won't you please fix this relationship?" The next thing you know, out of their mouth is coming, "I pray, but nothing's happening." Or even this, "I pray, but nothing's happened yet." Well, see, if you say nothing's happened yet, that's not an "it is finished" mentality. Because you got to recognize it happened 2,000 years ago. If I have a symptom in my body and I get healed tomorrow, if I manifest a healing tomorrow, amen? It wasn't because I got healed tomorrow. I got healed 2,000 years ago. That's when it was finished. And you got to recognize at the cross, everything was finished for you to receive what you need to live a blessed life. And then you speak in agreement out of faith what He said was finished. So what I want to go into right now is looking at what is finished. Now this is going to be, for some of you, it's going to be like the very basics of Christianity, of revival, charismatic Christianity. I want us to just seal this teaching with some of the things, just a limited list on what God says is finished in your life. Are you with me on that? So turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. And I've only listed 10 items of "It is finished." We're going to try to get through these. Amen. So that gives me about 5 minutes on each one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God." Are you born of God? "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world and everything in it." "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now I want you to start recognizing faith represents an "it is finished" mentality. So this is the victory that overcomes the world, and "it is finished" mindset. And God says here, He's promised us victory in every single circumstance. Amen. I mean, if we really understood God's promise of blessings, you'd win everything you ever entered. I don't care if it was just, a competition. You know, you're going to enter a swimming competition, right? And so the gun goes off, it's time to dive in the pool or the lake or whatever, and instead of diving, you just jump out and you start running across the top of the water. How many know you can run quicker than you swim? You'd win every single meet if you understood it was finished to that level. Now, the truth is, we're not battling against pools and flesh and blood. We're battling against devils, principalities, and powers, right? And God said He's already spoiled them. He's made a show of them openly, triumphing over them at the cross. Triumphing over them. That triumph represents a victory party. Look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I think. No, wrong verse. Well, I'll just talk to it. It says He triumphed over the devil at the cross. In other words, God already threw a victory party over the devil and everything he can do 2,000 years ago. All we're doing is stepping into what He's already celebrated. Amen? For us to accept defeat, for us to accept that we can't overcome, for us to accept that somehow darkness has a place in our life that we just can't get free of, that there's a bondage we can't get released from, is to say God celebrated for nothing. Oh God, I know You had a party, but it just didn't apply to me. Yeah, it did. It's finished. Every battle you'll ever go through, as far as God's concerned, you have the victory. We just got to learn how to be seated in heavenly places and laugh. We got to recognize when the enemy rises up and comes in like a flood, we just raise up the standard of the power of His love and we start celebrating the victory He gave. And somehow in your life, the Red Sea is going to part. Somehow it's going to part. And understand that Red Sea can represent the flood of debt in your life as well. That red ink sea, right? God will part whatever sea's in your way. That was the mistake Israel made at the Red Sea. They partied on the wrong side. They moaned and complained as they were backed up to the sea and looked like they were going to be wiped out. But God said, "I got a plan. Moses, hold out your staff over the water. Go forward." So He does, and the sea parts. They go across on dry land. We know the story. The sea comes together, destroys the Egyptian army. And then on the other side, Israel has a celebration. See, they made it across that one by mercy. Faith celebrates on the incoming side of the battle. Faith celebrates in the battle and says, "I know it's finished. I know God's going to cause me to win." See, I was raised up under the pressure of having a failure mentality. I know many of you were. I mean, the devil beat you up and told you you could never win. You'd never come out on top. When I found that God made me a conqueror, more than a conqueror, it changed my life. I now recognize there is no way, if I'll just stay in the Word, if I'll stay in prayer, if I don't get distracted and taken off track, right, keep my focus on the glory, there is no way I can lose in life because it's finished. God has given us the victory. The second thing God has given us, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And let's go to verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He says, he that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness. Does that sound like a maybe or a guarantee? You know, maybe Jesus just, he had a slip on his words, and he really meant, if you follow after me, you know, you may or may not access light. You may be in darkness most of the time. No, he said, you'll be in light. What does it mean that you'll be in light? That means you will have mental clarity and you'll see in the Spirit. That means you'll open the book and you'll revelate. That means you'll come to church and hear the word preached and you'll know the difference between what's of God and what isn't of God. Are you following me? That means you can come in contact with people and you'll know whether or not they're serving God or serving the devil. You will walk in a place of illumination where darkness can't overtake you. The Word says, if you walk in the light, you don't have to worry about stumbling. The person that walks in darkness, that walks blindly, is the one that stumbles, that steps into the snare. You walk in light, you'll see the snares out there before you. You follow me? You'll see the booby traps. You'll see the pitfalls the enemy sets for you. And here we have a guarantee that we are able to walk in light. He says, you shall be in light. See, a lot of people might put a lot of other promises ahead of light. Like, I just believe prosperity is more important than light. I believe that healing is more important than light. I believe your family, you know, your family peace is more important than light. The truth is, light is what opens up the door to victory in all of those. You get caught up in darkness, you won't access victory in any of those. And here God says, you have a right every day. Say, God, I receive a revelation right now. I receive illumination right now. I receive the ability to see in the realm of the Spirit. How many know that if you come into a strong anointing, all of a sudden your mind will clear up and you'll see in the Spirit instead of seeing the natural? You may not be aware of that, but you can. You can praise God till, I'm talking about till the glory drops, and you get so caught up in God, you see with eyes of the Spirit, and you're perceiving and comprehending things you never thought before, never knew were possible to comprehend. What happens? You're under a brighter light. You know, if you want to do some fine detail work, you need bright lights. You know, Greg does really fine auto body and auto restoration and other restoration. And at his place, he's got some bright lights. Because you need a bright light to see the fine details. Amen? And you can choose in your workplace whether or not you're using a 25-watt bulb, a 60-watt bulb, a 75 or 100. Or whatever watt. You choose what level of light you want to work under. And if you really want to do an accurate, excellent job, the more light you have, the better you'll do. Right? Well, that's not true, Pastor Jack. What if it's a million watts and you're looking right into it? Hey, if you get under God's million-watt light source, don't worry about anything else. You're going straight into the glory in the house. Amen. Let's just go on up in the cloud. Hey, I don't care if I see anything else. I see the glory. You choose by how much of a faith demand you'll put on revelation, that you'll put on illumination in an it is finished mindset. See, so many people come to me, they say, Pastor Jack, I just don't hear God. Pastor Jack, I just can't. My mind's so clouded. My mind's so cluttered. I just can't think straight. Well, see, that's not an it is finished mindset regarding illumination. You're stating the circumstance you're under instead of what God says you have. You got to get to the point that you say, I have the mind of Christ. I have clarity of thought. I see in the realm of the Spirit. I open the Word and I revelate out of it. Harabasotosi. You follow me? And you place a demand on the promise to walk and function in the light. Because if you don't learn to access light, guess what? You'll end up becoming naturally minded and none of the other stuff works. Here's the thing. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, to look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are unseen, right? For the things which are seen are temporal, subject to change, but the things that are unseen, the realm of the Spirit, are established in the heavens, right? Unchangeable. Well, let's say for a minute God's saying we need to look at that unseen realm, meaning the realm of the Spirit. Well, see, you can only see that unseen realm if you've stepped into the light. Only the light lets you see the unseen. So if you're not placing a man on the revelatory power of God, on the illuminating, anointing of God, then the only thing illuminated in your life will be the natural. Even though you go to the charismatic church and, you have a Bible. Right? And you can speak in tongues whenever you feel like it. If all you see is the natural because you've not placed a demand on seeing in the Spirit, then you'll be naturally minded. You can only be spiritually minded if you've got under the influence of the anointing that you can see in the unseen realm. And God's made a promise to us. We can walk in the light as He is in the light. What a promise. We can walk in the same clarity Jesus walked in. And you know what if you do? You'll be walking on water, right? You'll be operating in some raising the dead power. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 1. It says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. But we which have believed do enter into rest." The third thing I want to bring out that it is finished is God said we can function and live in rest. You don't have to live in turmoil anymore. You don't have to live under oppression and pressure and stress and strain. You can live in the rest of God. You can live under the influence of the entire fruit of the Spirit. Peace and joy and kind, the whole package. Are you following me? But it takes faith. They which have believed do enter into rest. That is more than just having sleep. Because you can get plenty of sleep and still be at unrest. In fact, the world's about to find that out. They may be getting their 8 hours, but they're about to enter into so much unrest that it's going to strain them to the breaking point. And many will. Right? But we which have believed, no matter what condition the world is in, we have a rest for our souls. We have comfort. Why do we have comfort? What is it that lets us have this rest? We have developed an it is finished mentality. We're not in fear of the future because we already know that we're going to win. We're not afraid of what circumstances might bring because we know God is going to provide. David said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread." You never have to worry. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're following God, you're a sower, a tither, you don't worry about God abandoning you. Getting ahead of myself a little bit. But we can walk in supernatural rest. And of course, Psalm 3:5 says, "I laid me down and slept and awake, for the Lord sustained me." Elsewhere it says, "I will lay me down in peace and sleep." Where's that at? There it is, 4:8. Psalm 4:8, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Dwelling in safety, that mindset is an in His finished mentality. You alone, Lord, have provided for me. You alone put a hedge about me. I can lie down and sleep in peace because I know it's finished. I know that I don't have to worry about anything and be tormented in my sleep. See, insomnia is a result of not knowing it is finished regarding rest. You can speak this verse over your life and sleep. Amen? And by the way, if the enemy's tormenting you at night, I have a foolproof way it works every time to get free of that. Every time you can't sleep or the devil wakes you up with a bad dream or whatever, some attack, just in bed start praising God. And you say, and you remind the devil, "Mr. Devil, I'm so glad you woke me up. I thank you for that. It's time for me to praise my God. Father, I just worship you right now. I bless you. I magnify you. You know, the enemy tried to bring me a bad dream, but I recognize you set me free from all bad consequences. So I glorify your name right now. Harabasatasi. And you do that two or three times, the devil will leave you alone because he doesn't want you praising God. I'm telling you, it will set you free from nightmares. Now, if you get up and you got to turn all the lights on in the house and, you know, gonna make you some warm milk and all this other stuff and fret, oh God, I just feel so. Hey, he's gonna keep it up. The enemy is an idiot, but he's not stupid. If it works, he keeps doing it. So praise him, God, he'll leave you alone. But God has promised us rest for your soul. You can live in peace, right? The fourth thing, I got to get through this list. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, I didn't put that one here, but I should have. You can live above sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you, right? We being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Everybody say were. Now you guys, having been through, you know, public school, or some level of school, they, I'm sure, taught you some grammar. Now, is word, is it future tense, present tense, or past tense? Were is a past tense word. He didn't say you shall be healed. He didn't say you might be healed. He said you were healed. When were you healed? When he took the stripes at the post 2,000 years ago. It is finished promise. Therefore, as we've been talking about, if you want to access the healing power of God, you got to develop an it is finished mindset. You got to really recognize he already paid for it, it's provided for. All you got to do is step into it by faith and it's done. But you got to step into it like you really believe it. I've seen this happen so many times. I would take all night to go through the stories. But there was a pastor in Carrollton, Kentucky, Pastor Ron, with our ministry for a while. He's passed on now. But when he first heard about our ministry, he came to a meeting. Pastor Philip was having Philip Durb was having a special meeting over in Bedford, I believe it was. Bedford, Kentucky. And Pastor Ron found out about the meeting. He heard a little bit about us. He came to the meeting. Well, he's going to come. And that day, right before he come, he fell and he broke his ankle. He knew it was broken, but he knew God said he was healed. And so he came to the meeting and started celebrating God in the praise and worship. I mean, jamming praise and worship, praising God. And God told him to stand up and praise him. In fact, I believe Pastor Phillips said to jump up or something. And he's thinking, if I jump up, you know, my ankle's broke. I'm in agonizing pain right now, barely hobbled in here. And God said, I want you to jump. So he had the it is finished mentality. And he says, okay, God, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And he jumped up, and when he did, he hit the ground. His ankle was totally healed. Well, I just can't believe all that. That's why you probably won't step into it. But you develop the it is finished mentality, and God speaks it. You'll step into stuff like that, or even make it happen. Make it happen. But you got to believe it's a done deal. What has it healed you of? Ever sickness? Every disease, every physical condition that could ever be mentioned. Jesse Duplantis was caught up to heaven one time. Now, you can believe this or not believe it. It's in his book, Close Encounters of a God Kind. He wrote two of them on it. And he was in heaven, and he saw these warehouses in heaven. Y'all heard this before? And he said, what's all that? And they showed him inside, and it was all these body parts. Arms and legs and eyes and everything else. And he said, what that? And he said, that's all the unclaimed body parts that are available to people on earth that need them. Now, I know that sounds far-fetched, but I believe it's nothing for God to make an arm grow out where there wasn't an arm. An eye be put in place where there were no eyes. Amen. Seen it happen too many times. A back to be given where there was a bad back. It's all available through the kingdom of God. It's finished. He's got the part stored in heaven waiting just for somebody to make a faith connection to receive that thing. Are you following me on this? It is finished. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms 1. Probably my favorite psalm. We don't have time to read through the whole thing, but it's talking about he's talking about who's going to be blessed, and it says, the one, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, right? He's a word person. He's developing faith. He's developing, and it is finished mentality. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever, everybody say whatsoever, what's left out of whatsoever? Nothing. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I believe it is impossible, if I believe God, for me to enter into a business dealing and lose. I might have somebody, you know, steal from me or take advantage or whatever, but in the long run, I'm going to see the harvest out of that seed. God said, whatever I do shall prosper. And I'm going to make money out of it. I'm going to be increased in it in some fashion or blessed in it in some fashion. Because no matter what I do, if I'm following God, it's got to produce. He's the one that created seed. He's the one that created soil, right? He's the one that put this whole system in place, all the principles of the kingdom. And he said, if you'll develop faith, that's what staying in the Word will do, develop your faith. He said, whatever you put your hand to is going to produce. Praise be to God. What an awesome God we serve. I had a situation yesterday. You may not appreciate this, but I watched God do a miracle in my life yesterday. I had to minister last night at Hanover, Indiana. And I knew I had to put catalytic converters, the old catalytic converters, back on my Mercury to go, or else drive the motorcycle, which would have been fine. But I decided I was going to put the Mercury back together. And I spent most of the day in the Word and in prayer, and I thought, well, it's going to take me an hour or so to put that Mercury back together. So I went out in the garage and looked, and I realized I had never taken the old bolts out of all the old stuff. I mean, they were rusted in. And had a mess to clean up. Had to change O2 sensors, all this other stuff. And I started doing it, and I hit some walls that those bolts weren't coming out. I was hitting them with a hammer, everything else. I couldn't get anything to fit. And I said, God, I need help right now. And it got down to, I had to get in the shower by 4:30, is what I'd planned. And I looked up, and it's 5 till 4. Lori comes out, and it's 5 till 4. And I got 3 hours worth of work left in 30 minutes. And I called upon God, I called upon angels, and started watching. As I just called upon God, everything started falling into place. And in 30 minutes, all the rusty bolts came out. Everything lined up. There was even one point, I don't know if you can appreciate this or not, but it's got these O2 sensors that plug in. And some imbecilic engineer thought it would be amusing to put the plug-ins for the O2 sensors on top of the bell housing in the engine, with no extra wire, so you got to somehow reach your hand up over the top of the engine from underneath and feel to plug two special plugs together that had to be properly aligned to plug in. And that was the last thing I tried to do, and it wasn't working. I said, I'll leave that till last. I'd fiddle with it for probably 10 or 15 minutes. I couldn't get it to line up. I couldn't feel it. I finally said, I'll do everything else and try that last. And so I finished stuff up, and I had just a few minutes left. I said, God, I'll try this O2 sensor. If it doesn't go right in, I got to go in and get in the shower and get on the motorcycle. And so I crawled into the car and I said, angels, line these things up. I reached up and went, click. For me, it was God. Now you might, well, that's just a coincidence. I'm telling you, what I had to do in 30 minutes for me was impossible. Watching God cause prosperity on everything I put my hand to. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I need to speed this up. I should have left out the car story. But it blessed me. I mean, that plug lined up. I'm going, this is impossible. Because there's only room for one hand. You can't get both hands up in there. And it snapped right in. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Again, this is a scripture you're going to know. Verse 7 says, should I ever get there? But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, right? God has delivered us from fear. Now, the word fear there primarily means timidity. To be afraid of anything, to be afraid of a circumstance, right? To be afraid to witness any type of timidity. But it goes into fear as well. God has made a promise that we can walk free of fear. And for no other reason, fear is the opposite of faith. And you can't walk in faith if you walk in fear. Right? God's given us promise to live a fear-free life. Let me camp out there just for a few minutes. I endeavor in my life to try to be alert to fear. You follow me? I try to be alert to fear. And if I see unreasonable fear in my life, really any fear, I try to overcome it at that moment. I refuse to give fear access into my life. You follow me on that? No, understand. To try to cross the highway with traffic during rush hour and you're going to close your eyes and walk across, that's not fear. That's not faith. That's stupidity. So there's some things you need to be aware of that aren't reasonable, but you don't have to be afraid. Use wisdom on it, right? But that fear where you hear a sound of the night and your heart goes shaking, and the adrenaline pumps up. When you feel, I go, no, in Jesus' name, I've not been given a spirit of fear. So you walk around in the dark, opening closets, sticking your head in them, and your eyes closed, whatever you got to do to overcome fear. Because God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Remember those days when you were a kid and you thought the monster was under your bed and you were afraid to even step out of bed? They might grab your ankle or whatever, suck you under. That was the enemy trying to get you in bondage to fear at a young age. Those nightmares, they are targeted to get you to live under the effect of fear. And I've determined not to have fear on anything. You follow me? I've determined not to let people make me afraid. I'm determined not to let any kind of event make me afraid. You know, Kings Island. When I was learning this, I made myself ride every ride ahead out there. Amen. Just to overcome fear. I remember the first time I rode a roller coaster. Did I tell y'all this year shortly ago? I'm going up that hill, the beast. Never been on a big roller coaster in my life. Click. And I got about two-thirds of the way up, and I'm looking down and thinking, I've changed my mind. Let me off this thing. And I found out there was no bailout button. There was no reverse on the thing. You were stuck. And found out the more I rode the roller coaster, the less I feared it. And I determined not to fear anything. Several years back, I guess it's, my goodness, I don't know, the kids were young. We went to Kings Island. We went to the water park. Spent the day at the water park that time. And they got those slides. And I'm looking at the slides, and all of a sudden I feel this fear talking to me. You're afraid of this? No, I ain't afraid of you, in Jesus' name. So me and a buddy of mine, we went up to ride those slides down. Y'all seen the slides? We're going to ride the slides down. We're going up looking down. That's a long ways down. They go down the slide really fast. We got to the first level. He says, well, you want to go down this? I said, nope, I'm going down the big one. We got to the next tier. He says, how about this one? Nope, I'm going down the big one. I may do this one time, but I'm not gonna bail out. Fear's not gonna have victory over me. We went to the top one. And all these kids are lined up, you know. I'm here, I'm in my 40s. And all these young kids are lined up, you know, and we're getting up there and got the gray hair and the whole works, and it's just about my turn. And some kids came up behind me, and these kids, you know, young guys are talking. They said, you going to do it? And they're going, I don't know. And one of them says, them old guys are doing it. Surely we can do it. So we pulled up there, and I launched myself down that slide. Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah. Fear shall not have dominion over me. And I'm determined, if something's trying to make me afraid, if I got to grab a spider, are you following me? Step on a bug barefooted, if whatever I got to do. I'm not giving way to fear. No, understand, don't step on a spider that may be poisonous. Don't grab a rattlesnake. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about unreasonable fear with no basis for it. And I just recommend you confront that thing. I've not been given a spirit of fear. So when that fear rises up, say, no! And go through the house doing whatever the enemy says you can't do. It's amazing if you interview people and they really told you to, how much stuff they're really afraid of. That there's no basis for being afraid of. I mean, there's phobias listed for everything. There are people afraid of water. People afraid of going outside. I talked to somebody a week ago, and they were afraid of watching television because they were afraid there were cameras on TV watching them. They wouldn't have a camera, a TV in their bathroom, afraid they were being watched. Fears, unreasonable fears. And you got to say, no, I'm not giving way to that nonsense. I know people that are afraid of bugs. Now, personally, if I was afraid of bugs, I'd smash every one I could with my thumb just so you're not getting victory over me. Now, I'm not going to be popping in my house when I get home tonight. Oh, you want to hear something funny? Patty has this flashlight that when she goes to bed, she checks under the sheets in case there's a spider under there. Then if she has to go to the restroom at night, she flicks her little LED flashlight on. She checks everything. She going. A couple nights ago, she got her flashlight and all of a sudden her go, middle of the night, she going, ah, ah, ah. I say, what? I thought, you know, a truck came through the wall or something like that. She said, I didn't see it. I stepped on a bug. Barefooted at night. I'm thinking, did you kill it? Well, those house centipedes with all the legs on you. She stepped on it. Amen. And so I reminded her last night. I said, how you doing? But she said, fine. I said, so when you stepped on the bug the other night, it didn't kill you. So why the unreasonable fear of a bug? Are you following me? People are afraid of snakes. The whole works. Overcome fear. Refuse it. And especially fear regarding something God's made you a promise for. Well, I'm just afraid I'm going to be broke. I'm afraid I'm going to die of cancer. I'm afraid of all these, that my kids aren't going to serve God. There's promises on all of that. As long as you're entertaining fear, you're opening the door for the enemy to bring that attack. You got to take the word in to neutralize that fear and speak in faith regarding what God said. My children will serve God. Amen. I will live out the course of my life and die an old person, totally healthy. And I'll go to heaven healed versus die sick. You follow me? Speak the word. 1 John chapter 5. We covered this verse, I believe, when we talked about Aiteo. Chapter 5, 1 John, verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Here it says, we have a promise of answered prayer. If you know it's the will of God, and you speak it, you know He hears you. And again, the word eiteo doesn't mean necessarily ask. It means even to place a demand on. To place a demand on your covenant. He says, we know we have the petitions that we desire. You can know God's going to answer your prayers. In fact, that's what It Is Finished is all about. That you know it's already answered. And all you're doing is stepping in to receive what God has made you a promise of. Are we getting too hyper-spiritual for you tonight? Don't say yes. Isaiah chapter 54. Let's try to target closing this out. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn it. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I want you to know, if you will receive it, you have a guaranteed promise of angelic protection. You know, I was talking to somebody again the other day, and they were saying, well, I just believe when your number's up, it's your time, it's time to go. What scripture is that one? There's a whole book of Numbers, but it doesn't say anything in it about when your number's up, it's time to go. Right? Well, you know, God just got this lottery box. He pulls your number out of the hat. He just needs another angel in heaven. Time for you to go. That's not what the Word says. Repeatedly, the Word says, He gives His angels charge over thee to bear you up in all your ways, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Right? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. All these scriptures that deal with that you shall not be hurt. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near your dwelling place. God has promised you divine protection. And this is one of the ones that make a lot of people the maddest of all. Well, I just don't believe all that. Well, that's why, you know, your life's in jeopardy. But those that understand it can live above being killed. Well, look at all the patriarchs in the Scripture that got killed. I'm not sure they knew what we know. Amen. God's bringing us into higher levels of revelation. I don't care how many people's names are in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. In the last days, God's going to raise up people that can't be killed. Amen. Now, I have heard so many... I've seen it in my own life. I've seen the devil try to kill me. I told you to be getting caught up in an electric sign. 16,000 volts. I'm inside the sign laughing at the devil while I can't move a muscle in my body. Thinking, I couldn't talk. You stupid. I'm thinking, you stupid devil, you can't hurt me. Why, I had promise. So what happened? I kicked my feet. I'm no shirt on, sweating, rolling down me, you know, hot summer day in that sign. The lid of the sign on the side of the building, I'm working in it. It's live. I'm trying to adjust a bulb, and it pops, and the lid of the sign comes down on top of me, throws me inside the sign into the bulbs, and I'm lit up. But I knew he couldn't kill me. So what happened? I kicked my feet, and I slid down the ladder to the ground. Got down. They thought, is he alive? I hit the ground. I was laughing. Wasn't a mark on my body. That sign came down and hit me in the back like that. An aluminum edge just hit me in the back full blast. Not a mark. Why? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Same roof. I'm up there and I'm doing some roofing up there, and I'm having to beat on the roof, and it turns out there's one of those red wasp nests inside the roof, and I got red wasps start pouring out. And everybody's scattering. I'm the one on the ladder with the hammer. Well, I got to finish this job. God says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So I took authority. I said, wasp, you can't sting me in Jesus' name. And I watched one of these paper wasps land on my arm, a big old red wasp right there, and I watch him arcing his back with his stinger coming full out, trying to sting me, but he couldn't get his stinger to my arm. Couldn't sting me. I said, praise the Lord, I kept on hammering. Glory to God, no weapon formed against me. I'm telling you, you have a promise of divine protection if you develop your faith in it. Well, I know people believe that and die. I know a whole lot of them that believe that and they're still alive. I believe it was John Hagee that the guy came in into service and emptied a gun at him. Point blank range, emptied the gun. John Haig, God told him, don't move. He just stood there like this. Guy empties the gun and missed him every single time. And then they did the, you know, the police came and did the study at the alignment of the bullets, and it was like they just were all angled clear around him or whatever. Not a single one hit. I know another guy was telling me, I believe it was a Rodney Howard Brown meeting, a guy came and emptied a gun at him. And he said he was on like the front or first or second row, and he watched, I believe it was Rodney Howard Brown, standing up near him. And he watched the bullet stop in the air in front of him and fall to the ground. Angel up there going, slow bullets, got that one, slow bullets, plucking them out of the air, dropping them down. But you got to believe it. You've got to believe it is finished, right? Proverbs 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7, the just or righteous man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Study out the scriptures. You will find scripture after scripture. It is finished verse after verse that says your children are blessed. It even says in Isaiah chapter 49, it says, oh, I love this. He says, shall the prey of the mighty be delivered? Oh, I better turn there. I'm going to get it out of order. Isaiah 49. Verse 24, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? A lawful captive is someone that's given themselves over to the devil. And the man is saying, shall they be delivered? Shall the lawful captive be set free? You know, what if my kids give them over to themselves over to Satan? And God says, but thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. God here says, I've made a covenant with you, and it is finished covenant. No matter what your kids do, if you'll place a demand on the covenant, speak the right words over your children, they will come through that thing. Well, not my kids. I believe they're just destined to go to hell, old rebellious things. Well, then you're not placing a demand on that covenant. Amen. I refuse for my children to go to hell. They will serve God. It would take us all night to go to very many children's scriptures, but it's all through the book. Raise up your child in the fear of the Lord. Amen. And when they grow old, they shall not depart from it. Is that the raise up your child in the way it should go? And when they grow old, they shall not depart from it. I knew it didn't sound right. Hebrews chapter 10, last one. It is finished. I wish I had one of those booming Alexander Scorby type voices. Praise you, Jesus. You know those preachers that when they speak, they sound like they're God? You know? I told the group last night, I sound just like another. I was talking about the voice pattern of God, and I told them, I sound just like a very well-known minister of the gospel. We sound alike. Joyce Meyer. Her voice may be a little deeper, though. Hebrews chapter 10. I virtually, 15 years ago, people could not tell the difference if they heard the two tapes, my voice from Joyce Meyer. I'd hear it and think, that's me, and it would be Joyce Meyer, or vice versa. They sounded so much alike. But her voice has gotten deeper with age. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. He's saying here, we can come boldly into the presence of God. Potentially the most valuable "it is finished" promise we have. You have a right that you can just start talking to God and know that you have, how can I say it, an audience with the Father. It is finished. When Jesus went to the cross, He opened up the veil, opened up the way for us to go into the Father, go into God and bring forth our petitions. And you can know that when you go into prayer, you're there. "Well, I just don't believe my prayers are getting above the ceiling." Well, you know, why are you letting the ceiling be the direction you're praying? Why not step into the throne room and just start talking to God? There shouldn't be a ceiling between you two. Amen. That ceiling mentality, or "my prayers just aren't getting anywhere," that's the mentality of "it's not finished" regarding what Jesus did. You're really not believing He gave you audience to come boldly before the Lord. Did you get anything out of this? It is finished, as well as this series. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word. I ask You to seal it in the hearts, minds, and understanding of each one here, and cause us to rise up and step into that place of confidence, knowing whatever we declare, what we decree, amen, whatever we place in the mantle regarding our covenant, we know it's going to be accomplished. And it is accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Hug some necks. Share the love of God.